Turn to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. I was reading this psalm, and I sent a text to a friend of mine, verse 28, and turned out to be very encouraging, very timely. It's very encouraging to me, Psalm 73, verse 28. I want to read that verse, and then what we want to do is take it and go back through the psalm with that verse and just make some comments that will be helpful for us tonight. Psalm 73, verse 28, the Bible says, "But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works." Notice what he says, it is good for me to do what? To draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you tonight for an opportunity to be able to preach the words of God. We're asking you, please, in the name of Jesus Christ, fill us with your Holy Spirit so that those things that you once said tonight from this text will be said. Lord, encourage the hearts of the people that are here. Help us to understand clearly just how vitally, vitally important what we're reading really is, not only in the life of the psalmist that wrote it, but in our lives. Help us to learn to live by these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. You know, if you think about this verse before we go in, there are a lot of things in life that are designed, I mean, by the world, by what goes on here, to draw you away from God. And so you know that going in, you're instructed already. And so the psalmist who wrote this is Asaph, the same one that wrote the next one. You'll see that at the beginning of Psalm 73 if you have the superscripts of who the authors are. Asaph wrote this psalm, and he said, "It is good for me to draw near to God." And it's very important for us to remember that. Now, to get right into some of the points that we can make from this psalm, I would say this. Draw near to God, first of all, when you are drawn away by envy. Go to the beginning of the psalm. Draw near to God when you are drawn away by envy. In the beginning of the psalm, Asaph begins like this in verse 1, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." So what Asaph is telling you, he said, I know that God is good to Israel. I know that God is good to those that have a clean heart. He said, I know that. That's true, he says in verse 1. But he said, you know what nearly tripped me up? That's what he's describing. My feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. We'd say we got tripped up by this. You know what tripped him up? Nearly? He got envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You know, I preached on this not too long ago, but it's something that really, really needs to be stated again. It is so easy to look at other people and think they got it better than I do. They're enjoying something that I don't get to enjoy. I envy that, and it'll trip you up. When you're young, particularly, I remember I was very young when I first received the Lord as my Savior. But you know, it was this thing right here that really, I have several places where in the Psalms and Proverbs this subject of envying sinners comes up. Man, that really worked on me. Because I thought, man, they get to do things we don't get to do. I'm being denied the fun stuff. And that I take really, really, really hammers Christians hard. The Bible says, you know, in another context, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, or anger is cruel and wrath is outrageous, but who can stand before envy? That thing, that envy will take you down. You know, if you think about it, I know that we're in a covetous society, but a lot of times when sin is portrayed in advertising on your television, they only show you the good time that other folks are having, and you think sometimes, well, I can't do that. I'm a Christian. I can't go where they go. I can't drink what they drink. I can't smoke what they smoke. I can't do what they do. And look how they're living it up. They don't show you the whole story. They show you enough to get you to envy that, so you're drawn to it. They appeal to something inside of here. We call it peer pressure sometimes, but truly, if it's in our own heart, It's envy. And so what you want to remember is, let's say that the pulpit here is God. He says it's good for me to draw near to God. And what happens with envy is you really take your eyes off the Lord and you start looking how good everybody around you has it. And that works you over. They got to look. You think they're not praying like I do. They don't go to church like I do. Yet they get the promotions. They got a better job. They drive a better car. They got a better house. Blah, blah, blah. And it will work on you. Notice not only that, but he says later on in the psalm, I say draw near to God. First of all, when you're drawn away by envy, but also when you're drawn away by pride. Keep reading. Verse 4, there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. In other words, he says, I looked at them, man, they got it better than we do. Therefore, verse 6, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. You know, if you grew up in church, some of you are in church growing up, you're very careful about how you speak, particularly around Christians, because you know it's not acceptable to say certain bad things. The Bible says the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. And so you choose acceptable words. But if you watch movies, if you hang around people that are in the world, they talk loftily. It is nothing for most people to take the name of God in vain when they tell a story, when they exaggerate a truth, when they get mad. They use really foul language, and those things come up a lot in movies. You know, I haven't watched movies in a long time, and it's really for a number of reasons. I like the books better. I get distracted when I'm watching the movie. I can't, you know, if somebody says, well, you know, we saw that movie a couple years ago, I can hardly remember it. I can remember if I read the book. So I'm not entertained by movies. I get tired before the movie's over, so they don't really do much for me. But I can remember years ago when Eddie Murphy became a popular comedian. He was funny. And I'd watch some of that stuff. And then all of a sudden, I mean, it just got vulgar and rude and crude and calling upon God's name. And I thought, man, this is vile. And this was a long time ago. And I told Ann, I said, I don't want my television talking like that. It's kind of hard for your television not to, most of the stuff that's on there. But you know what that is? That's pride. That's pride. And a lot of times what it does, it works over Christians because they see other people who are able to talk like that and they don't get struck down by lightning. And they talk about big things and the things they get to do. And so that will draw on you. And when you're drawn away by pride, you got to remember that is the time when you really need to draw near to God. And then keep going. Notice he says in verse 12, we'll read down to it, verse 10, therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them, and they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Most people who are proud, most people that Christians would envy, they are not concerned in the least what God thinks. Doesn't bother them. Verse 12, behold, these are the ungodly, watch it, who prosper in the world, and they increase in riches. Again, there's another thing you see going on around you that will draw you away from God, and it's covetousness. It worked on me. I graduated from high school, went off to college. When I got to college, studied hard, stayed in church, got out and got into the banking business. And I saw that what you have to do to excel in that business is you have to really apply yourself hard. You've got to get with the people that are in upper management to listen how they speak, how they view the corporate bank, and then work toward that. And what happens is the chase is I want what they have. Again, it sounds like envy, but it's also that covetousness, because with it comes the better position, the better car, the better title, the more money, all those things. And I'm telling you what, they draw on your heart. Any one of those three will draw you away from God. Pride, envy, and covetousness will draw you right out of fellowship with the Lord. And that's what happened to Asaph. Listen, Asaph, you probably don't know who he is. Does anybody know who he is? Yeah, he's Asaph. Yeah, well, you knew that. Well, there's some musicians. There are some chief musicians that are writing for David, and they are putting a lot of David's things to music. Asaph is one of them. Jeduthun is one of them. Ethan is one of them. Heman is one of them. Now, this guy is credited with writing some songs. Now, listen, this is a guy that is like a choir leader. This is a songwriter. This is a musician. He is used to praising God. He is used to being in fellowship with the Lord. He is used to doing things. And he has a close relationship with David the king. And he says, buddy, these three things just about knocked me out of the race. At my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. He's given you a testimony of how those things worked on him. And they'll work on you. But you know what spared him is the same thing that's going to spare you and the same thing that spared me. He got really upset about it. He says, look here, he says in verse 13, verily I have cleansed my heart in vain. I've washed my hands in innocency. All the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. Does that sound like a Christian who's been denied every every joy of life? And then he says, if verse 15, if I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. In other words, if I tell, he says, here I am a man of God. If I go and tell somebody else how I'm feeling about this, that they're going to be really, I'm going to offend them. But that's how he felt. And then he says, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Verse 17, here it is. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. He said, when I was looking at what they had down here, I saw the pride, I saw the success, I saw the prosperity, I saw the things that I coveted, and I was thinking, man, they got it way better than I do. Then I went to the sanctuary of God, considered their end, and I was like, oh, what a fool. It's what he says. Verse 18, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into the destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They're utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant I was as a beast before thee. He said, it wasn't until I considered the end that I realized what had happened. Now, I didn't intend to give you a testimony with telling this, but you know, when I got attracted by those three things, the very things that he's talking about, I hadn't read this psalm, I just know those are the things that drew me away from the Lord. I started the banking business right out of college, and so when I was 32 years old, I picked up this book and started reading it. And God let me see the end. He let me see hell is the end of this. He let me see the vanity that's the end of it. And I looked at my own life and realized how worthless that pursuit really is. And it changed everything. And when it did, I began to despise the very things that I had once envied. Isn't that an amazing thing? And it's what happened to Asaph. You must consider their end. And when you do that, it changes your whole perspective. Again, when the ads are on television and they show you guys that are, they advertise a brand of cigarettes or whatever, do they even still do that anymore? Is there still a Marlboro Man? Or is that all off limits because of the Surgeon General? Well, it may very well be. Where were we? We were traveling. We were walking down the corridor in the airport. And was it Costa Rica? And there was a big carton, an exaggerated carton of cigarettes. That didn't contain the cigarettes. It was just an advertising thing. And it says, you know, it doesn't say Surgeon General warning, this could hurt you. It said, smoking kills. It was a red box with a white label that said smoking kills. And they were buying them like they were hotcakes. Crazy. All right, so Marlboro Man's out. Well, he died of cancer and that was the end of the ads, right? They don't show you the cancer. They don't show you the cirrhosis of the liver. They don't show you the hepatitis. And those are the ends. They don't show you the bankruptcy. They don't show you the fourth and fifth divorces. They don't show you the lawsuits in the courts. All that is part of that lifestyle. And then they don't show you hell. Nobody can show you a picture of hell. God wrote about it, and it's clear enough. Boy, you see that, you're like, you know what? I don't want any of that, because it leads to no good. So he says, that's when he said, I need to draw near to God. And watch what happens when you do. Are we clear on all this? All right, when you draw near to God, when you find yourself being pulled away by that stuff, and when you draw near to God, here's what happens. Verse 23, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Yo. Wow. Can you get that picture? I wrote here, he strengthens you, but it's better than that. You can be strengthened by protein supplements. And there's not a whole lot of, that's not. Sometimes they're nasty. You drink that and go, well, I'm being strengthened. This is more than that. He said, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Can you imagine having the creator of the universe taking you by the right hand to do for you all the things that are necessary? We talked about it recently. When you can find contentment in holding the right hand of God, having him hold your right hand, what do you need? The world has none of that. None of that. That strength, that protection, that power of God. Not only that, he says in verse 24, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. When you draw near to God, he guides you. Does it make any sense to you? I know it does. The opportunity that you and I have to pick up a Bible and read this in the morning, to read this during the day, to pray to God and walk with assurance that you're going in the direction that God wants you to do, doing the things that God wants you to do, and finding Him going before you and arranging those things. That's an amazing thing. You know, we have prayed for a long time. Many of you have prayed for Josh and Marissa, and his first opportunity for parole came up, what was it, last week before? And he was given a one-year set-off. That's a great disappointment when you have an anticipation of coming out. But so had they prepared themselves through prayer and through these kinds of things for that possibility, that I talked to Josh and on the telephone Saturday night. He said, you know, I'm disappointed, but he said, you know what? I'm just going to go on with God. I'm going to do what we've been doing and continue right on with what God has done. You know what that is? That is the voice of a person who is content with God no matter where he is. You can have all the money that any man has ever had. You can have all the friends. You can have all the status. You can have the size home. You can have five homes if you want to in various parts of the world. And fly first class everywhere you go and not be in fellowship with God. And you'd be miserable by comparison to a person who has to spend at least another year in prison, who knows he is being held by the right hand of God and having his right hand held by God, who has the opportunity to come to God seeking his counsel with the assurance that he's going to be in heaven when he dies. He said, that guy has it better than the other guy who has everything the world would want. So he strengthens you, he guides you, he takes you to heaven when you die. Verses 23 and 25 speak of his fellowship. Nevertheless, I'm continually with thee. Verse 25, whom have I in heaven but thee? Watch it. This is what's beautiful. We always say, Father in heaven, thank you so much for the day. But look what he says in verse 25 at the end. There is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. You got him here. You got him here. You know, it's not like Father in heaven. You got him right here. He fellowships with you. Now, finishing up the psalm, verse 26, my flesh and my heart faileth. That happens. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Why? Because he's holding your right hand. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. We know they wind up in hell. That rich man in Luke chapter 16 fared sumptuously, the Bible says, every day and wound up in hell. The poor guy was full of sores. All he wanted was crumbs. Didn't get those. Wound up in Abraham's bosom. Terrible life by comparison to the rich man, and yet the rich man perished. You know, it'd be pretty foolish to desire to be famous for a week and be a bum for a year. Well, you could just have everything going for you for the whole year without having that glimpse of glory. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go whoring from thee. But then he says in verse 28, it is good for me to draw near to God. I put my trust in the Lord God. Watch it. That I may declare all thy works. You know something? When you get with God and he becomes so real to you that you sense him holding your right hand, you know his constant guide and counsel, you're assured of being received up into glory, and there's nobody else on earth that you desire beside him, you're going to have some stories to tell. You're going to have some stories to tell. That I may declare all thy works. You know what I found, and we're going to close with this. When you're sucked away by your job, by your education, by your desire to be accepted by the friends that you want to run around with, by your chasing and pursuit of whatever earthly desire it is, when you're drawn away from God by those things, you don't have any stories to tell. You don't sense his guiding. You don't sense his fellowship. You don't sense him holding you by the right hand. You miss all that. And after you've chased this for a year or 5 years or 50 years, and you realize how far they drug you away from God, you are so despondent and disappointed. I've talked to men who got drug out by these things. The good life, they call it. They got drug out by the 25 years, and then you find them and they're 60 years old, and they're looking back on all they missed. And boy, you talk about sad. They're like, I can't believe that I walked away from all of that. But they do. When you're going and being pulled by all that, you don't have any stories to tell. But when you turn your back on all those things and you draw near to God and you really concentrate on drawing near to God and it's a daily pursuit and he becomes the desire of your heart where you desire him above anything else and any other person in earth, you see things about the goodness of God nobody that's turned this way can see. He's still good. That's what Asaph said. He started out and said, truly God is good to Israel and to such as are of a clean heart. He's always good. He never changes. Trouble is, you just never get to see it. You don't have any stories to tell about it. But when you turn toward him and make this your pursuit, you start seeing things that God is doing that are good, that so far outshine everything else over here that would have caused you to envy or to be proud or to be covetous. You start seeing these good things here and you're like, wow. And you get to declare those things. And I'm going to tell you, those young years are gone now. And we've had decades to find out that this is true. And I don't think you want to sit here long enough for me to tell you just how good God really is. Asaph ended up his psalm here and said, that I may declare all thy works, but he didn't tell you what they were. Unless you wanted to sit down with him and hear something about a God who really takes an interest in us. So what's my admonition to you? In this day of distraction, Christmas, surgeries, jobs, families, pursuits, draw near to God. Father, thank you so much for the words of God. They are such a comfort. What a fabulous psalm. And help us, Father, to remember this and remind ourselves each day, it's good for me to draw near to God. I've put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. And I pray you'll have, there'll be plenty of stories to tell, for we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.